Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 74 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host Andy, and Promise of Tomorrow is the real card I'm referencing. Promise of Tomorrow is really just the procrastination of today.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It's the real definition of procrastination.
Yeah, in magic terms.
Promise of Tomorrow is like how I treat building decks, scheduling things, work.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this project done.
Tomorrow. It's always tomorrow.
That's how you do it.
It's the Annie of cards.
Oh, this is the Annie of cards.
And I'm your other host, Mike Coyle. And did you know that Tevesh Zott has never lost a tickle fight before?
No.
It's true. There's some out there that can resist one or two of his tickles, but no one can resist all tentacles.
Does he have 10?
He's a very tentacly guy.
Does he have 10 of them?
I don't know.
Please listen carefully.
Tevesh. Tenvesh.
Tenvesh tentacles.
Tentacle Tevesh.
That was a good one.
I try.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
So this past week, I wrapped up week two of the boxing league that I'm in. So I'm still playing Muldrotha. I don't think that's going to change. I have other options like a Darigaz, or I have Jota, but I don't have a Muldrotha deck. And
it's a beautiful thing
That I don't have it.
No, it's a beautiful thing that you build a Muldrotha deck. I'm jealous.
Yeah. I wanted to build it, but then, you know, it was very popular. And so I didn't, only because we have some people that we play with that have one. This past week, I opened Eldritch Moon Packs, so I was able to add a couple of cards that had Delirium, or there was a little bit more card draw, and then, that was what I opened to add for week two, and then after week two, I opened up Guilds of Ravnica packs, hoping to get some stuff from Golgari, maybe some stuff with Undergrowth, but I'm also in blue, so I can get some stuff from Izzet if I have mono blue, so I ended up getting some cards that have Jumpstart. I got a Golgari Guild Gate, so that was nice. I got a Gateway Plaza because I am in three colors, so that was really nice to get. I didn't get really any bombs. I haven't opened any bombs yet from the additional packs, at least that are in my colors. But I got a Temple Garden, so that was cool. Get a Shockland. I got an Arclight Phoenix, which is not in the color that I play.
No. But it's a good card.
Yeah, I mean Arclight Phoenix is cool. So I think I was able to add 10 cards from Eldritch Moon. I think I'm going to be able to add like 8 cards from guilds to it. And I got to figure out what I'm going to open for next week.
You should open Urza's Legacy for next week and try to get a second chance so that you can just loop infinite turns with your boxing league.
Second chance is what color?
It's blue.
It's blue.
Yeah, it's an enchantment that says at the beginning of your upkeep, if you have 5 or less life, sacrifice second chance and take an extra turn after this one.
Would you like to get me 6 packs of Urza's Legacy?
I'll point you in the right direction.
Should I order it with our TCG player link?
If you do order it from TCG player, you can get it for $7.17.
Well, I can't do that. I was talking about ordering packs off of TCG player.
Because
I gotta open 6 packs.
We'll just get wrappers and the individual cards that you need for your deck and just cheat.
No, we don't do that. No, but I had a really good game this past week. I was able to play a couple of sagas from my graveyard a couple of times. The Song of Freyalis. That card's really cool, especially when you put your third counter on a creature. That's a lot of turns that card has come out. And then the Bolas card. It's mono black.
The Eldest Reborn?
Eldest Reborn. Eldest Reborn. I cast that from the graveyard twice. It's a lot of sacking, a lot of discarding. So I really enjoyed that game, so that'll be up on YouTube. Actually, it'll be out the same day that this episode releases. Those come out every Wednesday. Tune in to see how that game went.
Yeah. We also, this past week, got to play on stream with Colin O'Clock on his Wednesday. Was it Wednesday stream?
It was Wednesday stream.
For his Extra Life, which was a lot of fun. There was some incentives on there that you could pay a certain dollar amount to have someone ramp it growth or have someone
exiled a permanent by spending $25.
Yeah.
That was cool. There were a lot of those that came in.
Yeah.
There was some skull clamps removed.
Two individual skull clamps got exiled with donor incentives. Yep. That was cool.
You did two things, right?
So I exiled a Blind Obedience I had Colin take an extra turn. And then I also, at one point, Colin had an Archfiend of Ifnir out. So I had him draw two, discard one, so that he put a minus one counter on each one of his opponent's creatures. Most of these things happened after I had been eliminated from the game.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Colin made his donation goal. Mm-hmm. So it was over $250. Mm-hmm. So it was really exciting. Yeah, I had a really good time playing. It was the first time I played my Spirits deck. So getting those minus counters was less than appealing. Yeah, but
that's why I did it.
But
to peel back that banana of a deck that was happening over there with your Spirits.
There was, to be fair, when I lost the Skull Clamp and I lost the Smothering Tide, mm-hmm. I was like, oh man, I'm a sitting duck right now. Mm-hmm. Oh no. It did not go in my favor, but go check out the VOD. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Kaladesh Remastered comes out on Arena on the 12th.
That's hot.
So that comes out this week. Mm-hmm. there's an, I believe, Aetherworks Marvel is in there.
Oh, did, I mean,
anybody remember that?
Is Ulamog in there yet?
Is it? I don't know.
I think Ulamog.
I don't remember all the individual cards that were added. I know that they've added cards 3 or 4 times now, just like sets of like 20 cards. Well, then you might be able to do that for an Ulamog if it is in fact in there.
Or you could just play Teamer Energy, which was also broken after Ulamog rotated.
I played Teamer Energy for a bit. I beat Teamer Energy a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
I didn't have to. I remember that though. Yes. I didn't have to play against it. I played against a bunch of dinosaur decks.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. Before we go ahead and jump into our main topics, we want to thank everybody who is a patron. I'm working on getting all of the rewards. There's some people that are waiting on tokens from us, so those are going to get mailed out later this week. If you want to support the show, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod and donate for any dollar amount. We do have some episodes coming up. We are working with some patrons who have a reward for a Commander of the Week episode, so we are going to be creating some content based solely on their commander deck. So we're really excited for that.
Yeah. And if you're looking for another way to support the podcast and you're looking to pick up some cards or some sealed product, we do have a TCG player affiliate link located in the show notes below. Or if you're watching on YouTube, located in the description. So if you could go through our TCG player affiliate link, it helps out the podcast. We get a little bit of money back from them. TCG player just had an 8% kickback. Hopefully you were able to take advantage of that and get some bonus bucks. But really, the easiest way you can support the podcast, whatever venue you are listening to our podcast on, if you could just like, follow, subscribe, leave a comment, a rating, whatever you can do to help us out there, any constructive feedback, we'd appreciate it a lot.
Yeah. So what are we talking about this week?
This week, we're going to give a quick shout out at the beginning of our episode to a very special friend of mm-hmm. the podcast. And then we are going to talk about a little bit more about, there's this new set that's coming out. It's called Commander Legends.
Yeah. We might have talked about it a smidgen last week.
And maybe even a little bit the week before. So this is a super cool set, mostly about Commander, much like our podcast. So we're going to talk about cards that we're actually adding into the 99 rather than cards that we are looking at to be our Commander. And then we're also going to talk about cards that we want to be our Commander.
Yeah, the most the one that we want to build the most, we think, right?
Yeah, the one, right? The one that we want to build the most when I sent you my three.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it. So we have a special thank you to give out to Mr. Bevers, who's promoting our channel with his Monday Madness series this week. So thank you to everybody who stopped by our show to let us know that you found us through Mr. B, and everyone who did subscribe and leave a comment. Good luck to all of you in the the giveaway competition. So yeah. If you aren't following, go ahead and check out Mr. Bevers' channel. We will put the link in the show notes below. He does a lot of pack cracking, and he does Cracking for a Cause once a week. So I was on, it was a couple weeks ago now. I mean, by a couple, I mean, it was a while ago. I think it was, I was on his second episode for Cracking for a Cause. Mm-hmm. So you come up with a stipulation and whoever wins donates to the other person's charity of choice. Mine was in June. I remember that much.
Okay.
And so anyway, I think episode 12 or 13 just came out. So go check that out. And if you are here visiting from Mr. Bevers, welcome to our show.
Welcome. Welcome. Mm-hmm.
So that song brought to you by us.
Yep. You're welcome.
So we are diving into the 99, one might say.
Or 98.
Could be 98 because some of these cards have partner.
Yeah, or we could also be playing companion and it's into the 97. It's crazy. Soon it's going to be like into the 96. We're going to have another exile spot at the beginning of the game.
Into the 96.
Into the 96.
The 97 is a realistic one, though. I mean,
yeah.
Partners with a companion.
Mm-hmm.
I have not looked to figure out what partners want a companion yet at all.
I misread a card and started building a deck around it. Because
I don't like companion.
I know you don't. But I misread Jessica. And Jessica says if a commander would deal combat damage, it would deal triple damage with her activated ability. Or sorry, target creature, it would deal combat damage. I thought it just said damage. And I was thinking about doing a Jessica Vile Smasher Obosh Rakdos deck. But
you still could, though.
You could. I don't ever want to swing with Vile Smasher.
I'm sure.
I was hoping for things that just didn't work out for me.
It was not
one sad moment.
Reading the card explains the card, which I feel like how it's going to be for a little while with all these new cards.
There's some complicated things. Most of the stuff's pretty easy, but there's some Obeka's complicated, right?
Yeah. For sure. So the first card, so we each just picked random cards that we wanted to play with. I guess not even random. We went through this list and we know that there's some specific cards that we want to add to some decks. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about the ones that we're adding to our decks and why maybe you might want to add them to your decks. So the first card that I have is actually Reshape the Earth, which is a 9 mana sorcery, 6 green, green, green. That says search your library for up to 10 land cards. Just land cards. Doesn't matter what they are.
Nope.
And put them onto the battlefield tapped and shuffle your library.
That's right.
So this is a really great card if you're playing a Maze's End deck.
It sure is.
Which I have. It's a 5-color Maze's End deck with Niv-Mizzet at the helm. Although it's probably more realistic to play a Golos deck for Maze's End.
Mm-hmm.
I have Niv-Mizzet because I had, you know, something for every commander color in Ravnica.
That's right. And including all 5.
Including all 5, which was Niv-Mizzet Reborn. So for 9 mana, I can go and get the remainder of my gates and the Maze's End, or I guess 9 gates and Maze's End.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you untap, you do just win.
Yeah.
So this is really great. Otherwise, you're in green and getting to 9 mana happens on turn 3 or 4 all the time.
Yeah.
Just because you're in green. Mm-hmm. And that's what green does. So this card could just be a staple if you wanted it to be, if you needed lands. I mean, landfall decks aside, right? Because those certainly want, I mean, I would probably want to put this in my Omnath deck.
Mm-hmm.
I just ramp right to 9, but I will probably get a couple copies of this. You know, it's sorcery speed, so you don't get to benefit from it until your next turn, unless you have like an Amulet of Vigor, or you have, you know, I mean, there's ways to make it crazy.
Yeah. I mean, there's even ways.
The new turtle.
Yeah.
Arkelios,
Lagoon Mystic.
Right.
With this just, oh yeah, I'm going to tap 9 and you actually net 1 mana because you get 10 lands now come in untapped.
Right. So I really like this card and for Maze's End, I will be playing it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you do combinations like Field of the Dead or something, I mean, you're getting 10 zombies with if you get Field of the Dead as one of these, you could do all utility lands. The card has endless possibilities.
I mean, reshape the, if you're playing a deck that's red and green, I guess you can grab a Valakut and all the rest of your mountains if you really needed to.
Yeah, you certainly could. You could get like Valakut and then like the stuff that enters the battlefield and like becomes a copy of another land that you control or something like that, and your Cabal Coffers and your Urborg, you know.
If you're playing green and black, you might as well just grab on.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So yeah, definitely really, really, really cool card that's gonna fit into a lot of decks.
I'm excited. What is your first card this week?
The first card I picked is a mono black zombie. Surprise. Tormod the Desecrator. So Tormod the Desecrator is a 4 CMC zombie wizard. For 3 and a black, you get a 4/2 zombie wizard. This one is actually one of the partner cards, and it is in consideration for my first mono black partner.
I'm advocating for this to be part of your favorite color player pairing of mono black.
I still don't know if I love it or not, quite honestly. I mean, the card, so the card in the 99, again, we're talking about into the 99, or the 98 or the 97.
The 96 one day in the future.
In the future.
Who knows?
But into the 99, I really love this for all zombie decks. So the text on it, whenever one or more cards leave your graveyard, create a tapped 2/2 black zombie creature token. So this is fitting really well into my Scarab God Zombies deck.
Yeah, this is perfect for that.
It's just all zombies all the time. One of the infinite combos, actually the only infinite combo that I have in the deck, this particular card works very well with, which is Gravecrawler with a Phyrexian Altar. Phyrexian Altar allows you to sacrifice a creature for one color of mana, and Gravecrawler says as long as you control a zombie, you can cast Gravecrawler from your graveyard. So you sacrifice Gravecrawler for one black and then cast it for one black. And every time you do that, you're going to get a tap 2/2 zombie with Tormod. So you could create infinite tapped zombie tokens and then sacrifice all those zombie tokens and Torments of Hailfire for X equals a billion or something like that. But
yeah.
Honestly, now that I was thinking about it, I actually kind of went through. So I went through all my architects for all these decks and added all these cards to my maybe boards just to kind of look at it. And the Scarab God is always like a kill on sight thing because people don't want their creatures to get exiled from their graveyard and then come back as a 4/4 zombie plus the Scarab God as its really good upkeep trigger to do damage and scry equals to the number of zombies you control. So I'm thinking of actually just replacing Scarab God with Tormod the Desecrator, partnered with Sakashima to come in as just copies of more zombie lords. And I think that is going to work a lot better than the Scarab God and how the deck plays out.
Okay. So
I think I'm actually going to highly consider doing that. And this is, we're doing that live. This is these thoughts coming to you live.
You are hearing it for the first time, folks.
For the first time.
Yeah. I think that card's great. I was advocating as the second of your pairing for the mono black, color pairing there, but Tormod doesn't really fit into any decks that I currently play. Mm-hmm. So I don't have that one lined up, but it seems like a fun commander to play as a partner for
it,
sure.
It almost, the text on it almost seems perfect for like a Sir Conrad deck who cares about creatures leaving your graveyard and going to your graveyard and all that kind of stuff. So definitely would probably fit there. Most reanimator decks, I guess.
So Commander Legends 2 was going to have a card that says target creature you control gains partner, reveal it at the beginning of the game or something, right?
That would be ridiculously broken and I love it.
Yeah, but it costs like 18 mana to cast that creature. Something.
Don't care.
Boom.
I wouldn't even care.
I
would play it. So I can actually add green to She-Ray. It's my dream to add green to She-Ray.
So the next card that I am talking about is Court of Ire. Mm-hmm. So this is 3 red for an enchantment that says when it enters the battlefield, you become the monarch. And at the beginning of your upkeep, Court of Ire deals 2 damage to any target. If you're the monarch, it deals 7 damage to that player or permanent instead. So Torbran enters the room and says, gimme. So I play a Torbran deck, and Torbran says that whenever a red source you control would deal damage to a basically a permanent, it deals that much plus 2. So this will deal 4 or 9 respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Adds the monarch to the game, which is something that red wants to do.
Yep.
Red could use that card draw. So I don't know if I have another red deck that would want this necessarily. I have red decks that are combined with like blue or mm-hmm. or green. Mm-hmm. My Boros deck, I guess, wouldn't mind this, but I'm playing Feather, so I draw so many cards already. Yeah. I don't think I necessarily need Court of Ire, but this will be going into Torbran. I feel like this could be a solid red staple going forward for like casual decks across the board.
Yeah, it's red card draw, right? Red likes to swing, and you're gonna swing and become the monarch. And you know, if you're playing a I guess Monarch really, I think, thrives in like go wide strategies more than anything else, because that way you can almost always get something in. So like your Goblin decks or something is maybe where Court of Ire is going to go in. So I have a Cranko 10 Street Kingpin deck, so I will definitely consider putting a Court of Ire into that deck.
Yeah. So cord of ire, it's going in.
It's going in. So my next card that I have is actually a common that I'm really, really excited for.
So commons usually come out because Coil plays She-Ray, and is this a card for She-Ray?
Yeah, it's a card for She-Ray.
I'll be honest, didn't look at your list. Like mm-hmm. we created these lists and, mm-hmm. and I wanted to send it in case you had any notes for me.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like doing them as unknowns here.
Yeah, I specifically picked, so you sent me your list first. I had already started my list. But you sent me your list, and I'm like, all right, there are cards on your list that I want to talk about, but that's the glory of having a podcast where we get to talk about each other's cards too.
Right.
So this one, I had people actually DMing me about this card and going like, oh, you putting this in She-Ray? It's like, of course I'm putting it in She-Ray. So this is Elvish Doomsayer. So Elvish Doomsayer, one in a black, you get an Elf Shaman 1/1 that says when Elvish Doomsayer dies, each opponent discards a card. So it's not target opponent discards a card. It's each opponent discards a card. It's a 1/1. It only costs 2 mana. I have a lot of stuff in She-Ray that reduces cost by 1 for black.
Do you play Burglar Rat?
I do play Burglar
Rat.
Okay,
yeah. So this gives you a little bit of redundancy. Because this one isn't dies. Burglar Rat's enters, but I guess it doesn't even matter.
Right. And like Black Cat is when it dies. And mm-hmm. Corrupt Court Official is when it enters the battlefield. Noxious Toad is when it dies.
You have 5 forcing discard cards?
I think there's like 7 or 8.
Oh my god.
So this card is for the deck type. So I have 2 different She-Ray decks. One of them is She-Ray Fun. And the other one is She-Mean, right? So this is a She-Mean Ray card. But I do like that this is kind of Elvish Doomsayer. If you look at the artwork, it's like the elf kind of holding out her hand. It looks like Elvish Mystic. When it enters the battlefield, you draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is instead when it dies, each opponent discards a card. So it's kind of like the opposite. And they play a lot into the green-black elf synergy in this set, which is kind of cool. So you'll be able to see both of these. And if you're ever playing against my She-Mean Ray deck, you're going to see this card over and over and over and over.
Yeah. I'm going to sue that deck. I'm going to take it to court, specifically the Court of Grace.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. So that...
Good transition.
I thought of that one just now. So Court of Grace. I really like the Monarch. They're not all on my list. Mm. This is the last one that I do have on my list court-wise. Okay. So this is the White Court. So 2 white enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, you become the Monarch. At the beginning of your upkeep, you create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying, or if you're the Monarch, you create a 4/4 angel creature token with flying instead. So I am playing, I'm putting this in Tesa Orzhov Scion. So Tesa Orzhov Scion is the one from the original Ravnica block that when a black permit you control, creature dies, you make a 1/1 white spirit. You can exile 3 white creatures, sacrifice them to exile a white permanent,
mm-hmm.
or any target permanent.
Any target permanent.
Yeah, yeah. So this will make me spirits. And I guess if I can be the Monarch, great. Mm-hmm. If I'm not, I'm not mad about it.
Right. So you're playing it in both in a black-white deck. So black gives you a lot of opportunities to draw where white maybe doesn't. So, putting out Monarch helps in the card draw aspect. I know I'm looking at this card for a lot of my mono white decks in particular.
Yeah, yeah, and specifically Tesa does remove target creature from the game, so it's not even target permanent, but it's target mm-hmm. creature. But if you can make a spirit at every upkeep and then maybe become the Monarch, draw the card at the end of turn, then you get it stolen from you again, mm-hmm. that's cool. I actually don't want to be the Monarch in that deck.
Right.
I mean, I want to, but then I don't want to be it at my upkeep. Some you do, like the mm-hmm. Court of Ire for Torbrand. I would like to keep the Monarch mm-hmm. in this one. We can trade it.
For sure.
Like, would you like to draw a card? Just swing at me. I will not block.
I would love to draw a card.
Okay, great.
I would also love to do damage to your face.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I might have some life gain. It's an Orzhov deck. So yeah. Just swing it at me.
For sure.
Not your commander, though.
It's going to be my commander every time.
Well, then I'm going to block it.
Okay, deal. No, I really like this. I like this for like Rhys the Redeemed decks too. So I know the way that I play Rhys the Redeemed is Elf Tribal, but I know a lot of people play it just token tribal because Rhys doubles all of the tokens that you have. So if you get your angel tokens at your upkeep and then you can start doubling your angel tokens and that kind of stuff, and you actually get a big army of blockers to keep the Monarch and be able to draw a lot, and then maybe you can even play the green Monarch enchantment to help with getting free creatures onto the battlefield or something.
Right.
You have the opportunity to do that.
Yep. And just Monarch. Let's swing. Let's attack this game. Let's not just pass until we draw the cards we need. Let's bash some face.
Bash some crowns in. All right. So the next card on this list is my mono green cards, which are I put three in here.
Yeah, Coyle's list. He gave me 10 cards, but he actually gave me 12 cards because one line was three cards in a row.
Yeah. So so this, I guess, I have this mono green Yeva deck that I call mono blue mono green Yeva. Because Yeva allows you to cast green creature spells as though they had flash. And if you didn't know, Wizards of the Coast likes printing good green creatures in sets.
They're great.
Yeah. So three creatures that I really, really like that I'm going to be adding in here are Kodama of the East Tree. So this is a mono green partner that is for six mana. You get a 6/6 spirit with reach. This is whenever another permanent enters the battlefield under your control. If it wasn't put onto the battlefield with this ability, you may put a permanent card with equal or lesser converted mana cost from your hand onto the battlefield. So this is really good. Seedborn Muse is one of the best cards in the Yeva deck because it allows me to untap on every single person's turn and be able to cast stuff and get a lot out before it's even my turn. Kodama of the East Tree is going to turbo that. And even if I don't have Seedborn Muse, I'll be able to get two permanents out every single time that I cast something. So that's going to help out a lot. Sweet Gum Recluse is another one that
I think people are overlooking this card a lot
and I'm surprised. So it's a 6 CMC spider. It's a 0/3 spider with flash, cascade, and reach. And it says when Sweet Gum Recluse enters the battlefield, put 3+1/+1 counters on each of any number of target creatures that entered the battlefield this turn. So I do have a lot of creatures that will come into the battlefield and create tokens, stuff to dump all my mana into, like Ant Queen or something. You pay one and a green, you make a 1/1 ant. So Sweet Gum Recluse is going to make all of those 4/4s, and also I'm going to be able to cascade into something. And then finally, I mean, there's this 10/10 for 10 mana called Apex Devastator.
Yeah, we talked about it last week with the quadruple cascade.
Yeah, so that's just a really good green card. I do have the mana in Yeva in order to cast it, and I'm going to be able to get five permanents on the battlefield, or five spells at the very least.
Yeah. No, that's really good. Well, speaking of cascade, the next card that I have actually is a cascade card.
Oh.
So Flamekin Herald is an elemental wizard for 3/2 and a red. And it's a 3/2 that says commander spells you cast have cascade. So whenever I see an elemental, the first thing that I do is I think about my Omnath Locus of Rage deck.
Mm-hmm.
So Omnath Locus of Rage just says whenever an elemental you control or Omnath itself dies, you can deal 3 damage to target creature player. Mm-hmm. So whenever a new elemental comes out, I always have to look at it. So this one's really great because it says commander spells you control have cascade. So Omnath costs 7 mana, and I did look at my deck list that I have for Omnath, and there's only 2 cards that I can't hit in the deck, which is a Blasphemous Act and Avenger of Zendikar. So okay. So 9 and then 7 respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Every other card that I have can be cast off of this because you reveal until you reveal a non-land and yep. then or yeah a non-land card with lesser CMC, and I don't think there's anything that I wouldn't want to cast off of it.
Right.
If I just cast my commander and get a free spell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yep, and it's probably going to be a ramp spell or a creature that goes and gets a land.
Sure.
I mean, which I guess you could still argue is just a ramp spell. Mm-hmm. But on a body.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is going to go in, but I'm getting to that point with this deck where I don't know what to remove. Like I feel like I can't remove anything.
Well, and you're going to be adding Reshape the Earth. So now you have to remove 2 cards in order to add both of these.
I know. Well, I guess if I add that, I can't. Then there'd be 3 cards total that I can't get off of the cascade.
So then I have a suggestion. You just remove 1 mountain and 1 forest, and then you're perfect.
No. I have so this deck, to be honest, I probably could.
Okay.
Because I run 40, but mm-hmm. it's a landfall deck that looks to grab all of them. The problem is once you've grabbed them and then you're relying on landfall triggers and mm-hmm. then there's no more lands mm-hmm. to get.
Yeah.
So that is a problem. I absolutely could go down to probably 39 or 38 lands.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Let's test it out. Could always test it out. Can always reverse it. Flip it down and reverse it. Add those lands back to the deck.
I don't know the lyrics. I don't know the lyrics, but I was following. I could just remove like a, I mean, maybe Mina and Dent. No, everything. You know the one that I always get disappointed with in here?
Hmm.
Wayward Swordtooth.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's a 5/5. Can't attack or block unless you have the city's blessing, but you get to play one extra land each turn.
Yeah. I feel like that might be better than Mina and Dent, no? Oh, because Mina and Dent can bounce lands back and you can get extra landfall that way.
Well, yes, but it also says when you turn that land, target creature you control gains trample.
Well, that's important too. The tromples are good.
The tromples are good. Yeah, so Flamekin Herald right into Omnath.
Okay, all right. So the next card that I want to talk about, it's a white card. White got a really, really good bomb. And it's called Triumphant Reckoning. So it's a sorcery for 6 white, so 9 CMC. And it says, return all artifact, enchantment, and planeswalker cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. And the one thing that is most important on that card for me is that last word, planeswalker cards. So,
well, the last card on it is battlefield, but...
The last permanent.
The last actual word is the word victory. Type. The last word is victory, I guess, in the flavor.
That's text. True. In a flash of light, in a burst of aether, despair turned to hope, and defeat turned to victory.
And I think that's Flamekin Herald standing right in the middle there.
Oh, and I think these are all planeswalkers.
Are those planeswalkers?
Because there's Karn on the right. Is that Chandra? I think it's Chandra.
Is that Chandra in the middle? That looks exactly like Flamekin Herald holding a torch. But it could absolutely be Chandra with her hair on fire and holding a torch.
Yeah, I think it is.
Who's on the left?
I think she's just holding her hand up and there's a flame there.
No, she's holding a stick. That thing's holding...
Yep, it's a torch. You're right.
That it could be the flamekin.
Just,
I'm going
to
go
The one on the right just looks like Karn, and it's the only thing I have to say it's that these
flame
are
It's not Flamekin Herald. Flamekin Herald is not holding something.
Okay.
It does look like Chandra, but she's holding a torch.
Yep.
If anyone knows the creatures in this, let us know.
We'll have to talk to
Svetlin Yelenov.
Yes, and ask them.
I bet you we could find it online. We'll have to look it up.
We'll have to look it up. So the deck that I'm putting this in is my Jiru with eyes open, or Dejiru. I'm not really sure what the correct pronunciation is, with eyes open. So it's a mono white planeswalker deck. So the deck is literally all around making a pillow fort so people can't attack me or planeswalkers that I control, putting out mono white planeswalkers, getting emblems out that make it really difficult for me to die, and then finding my planeswalkers. And I do have some synergies. So Dejiru, when Dejiru enters the battlefield, you can search your library for a planeswalker card and put it in your hand and then shuffle your library. So I do have some cards that actually help it, so that if I have a planeswalker in my graveyard, I can put it back into my library and search for it. So with this card, I wouldn't have to do that. I can just basically reanimate all of them and put them on the battlefield
at the
same
time. It's
like
a big old expensive replenish, but for all the things that your deck wants.
That's right. And again, I do also play the enchantments that help me with Pillow Fort. I play the very important artifact for Planeswalkers, the Chain Veil, to help and get multiple activations. So that's kind of just sugar on top, when the big thing really is just getting all the Planeswalkers back. It's at sorcery speed, but Planeswalkers activate at sorcery speed, so I don't really mind.
Yeah, it's not so bad. So every time that you play this, you do get targeted, right? Because you do have a lot of Planeswalkers that can be crazy later, but mm-hmm. they might not necessarily do much immediately.
Right.
You run the suite of the Gideons.
That is correct. All of the Gideons.
All of the Gids.
Except for human Gideon.
Kithian?
Yeah. I do not play Kithian.
That's okay. I mean, I don't know if you would even be able to flip it, really.
It's difficult.
You could. I mean, you run Elspeth, which makes creatures and stuff.
But... A lot of white planeswalkers make creatures.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But this is like a perfect card for that deck. 9 mana is 9 mana. I mean, but you're in for the late game in that deck anyway,
because
you're
correct.
Exploding the board every 3 turns.
Every 3 turns, I'm board wiping, trying to get a Sarah emblem and a Gideon emblem to make it so that I can't lose the game. And whenever I take damage, I don't take damage. And even if you're playing an Atraxa deck, you're going to want to put Triumphant Reckoning in that. So.
Right. Well, let me help you out by wheeling stuff into the graveyard for you.
Perfect.
So that you can reanimate it with the card sitting in your hand with the Wheel of Misfortune. So we talked about this briefly last week. Card that I think is a solid. If you need a wheel effect and you can't afford Wheel of Fortune because it's like $190 now, this one's fine.
It costs the same amount of mana.
Same amount of mana, just a little bit of life. Or you might even be able to be right in the middle of the road and you don't lose any life.
That's right.
Just don't be the lowest.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you like your hand, then
right.
be the lowest.
Yeah.
This card is solid. There isn't really a whole lot to say. It's a wheel card.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of politicking here, maybe.
Sure.
There's a lot of thought that has to go into making your decision. So you could try to mess with somebody, and if you have a lot of life, or maybe they don't have enough and they really want to wheel, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this will lead to some interesting plays, maybe not as interesting as we think. But if you need a wheel effect, this one's solid. Right now, it's at $12.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a cheapo card.
No.
But
$12, a lot cheaper than
$180.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And a little bit of life, it's Commander.
Right.
And I have learned in the last year, in my 300, I think in 9 games now, mm-hmm. I don't mind paying a lot of life into things.
No.
If I can stabilize.
Well, and we even talked about, you know, some of the ways that you can exploit this, because the card does deal damage. So like if you're in a Fire Song and Sunspeaker, it's a red card, so it gains lifelink and that kind of stuff. And I think it's important that you're not going to play this in a deck like Nekusar, because if you have Nekusar out and you cast that, everyone's going to say, oh yeah, we pay zero. That way we don't take damage from getting wheeled by Nekusar. So I guess that makes sense. But if you're playing in a deck where you just want to wheel your own hand, you know, if you're just playing mono red and you just want a new hand, it's a perfect card for it. In my Anya Falcon Wrath wheels deck, this is perfect because sometimes I only want to wheel my own hand. So yeah, no, there's right. definitely a lot of really good instances for this.
Yeah. So Wheel of Fortune is going, or Wheel of Misfortune. Wheel of Misfortune is going into decks that I have that have red. Sometimes just having this is great, but you also enable your opponents too. So, mm-hmm. and I don't mind if someone else were to wheel me into something, I'll pay some life or attempt to, mm-hmm. I'll bid some life and maybe not lose it, but
right.
Give me 7 cards.
Now, what if someone casts Wheel of Misfortune and then in response flashes out a Hull Breacher?
Then you need to talk to them if that's not something that you want in your play group. However, I love those effects, but I don't do those only because it's a little difficult first to play that. I don't, unless you know you're in for a higher powered game,
mm-hmm.
which I would just say is tuned.
Right.
I would play those in a tuned deck. Mm-hmm. But for like the podcast, unless I specifically said, hey, we're playing decks that are tuned,
right.
I would never include that card.
For sure. For sure.
Never would I include that Opposition Agent, which we want to mention,
mm-hmm.
Or Notion Thief.
Right.
But if I'm playing tuned or higher,
mm-hmm.
all in.
No. Now, speaking of Hull Breacher and Opposition Agent,
yeah.
I'm going to put those in decks.
Even casual decks?
No.
Okay. I was like, oh my God. Decks. Oh no. Only I want those in decks too. I just didn't include them on the list. Because you did.
That's correct. So those are the two cards.
I didn't actually know you had them on the list, so I'm really glad they're here.
So those are the two cards that I'm talking about next. So Hull Breacher is a 3 CMC Merfolk Pirate 3/2 with flash. It says if an opponent would draw a card, except the first one they draw on each of their draw steps. Instead, you create a treasure token, an Opposition Agent, a 3 CMC Human Rogue 3/2 with flash. This is you control your opponents while they're searching their libraries, and while an opponent is searching their library, they exile each card they find. You may play those cards for as long as they remain exiled, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast them. So these two cards plus Jeweled Lotus are probably the three biggest controversy cards from Commander Legends, and I plan on playing, well, all three of them in my new deck that I spiced up, my Araumi of the Dead Tide deck. So the real cool part that I like about these are that they have flash speed. So Araumi of the Dead Tide allows me to cast creature cards from my graveyard. And normally you would have to cast them at sorcery speed as creatures are. But I have some, I guess, extra tricks where I could entomb a Hull Breacher into my graveyard, use my Araumi to flash Hull Breacher out times 3. And this is with a wheel on the stack or something like that. And then with 3 Hull Breachers out, I would actually be getting 3 treasures for each card that my opponents attempt to draw off of a wheel, potentially giving me 63 treasures and allowing me to most likely win the game on the next turn. Hopefully I can with 63 mana. Or I'll be able to do the same thing with Opposition Agent if someone goes and tries to tutor for something. Maybe they're also playing around me and they flashed out, you know, or they put out Runescar Demon and they're going to search 3 times. I'm going to get an Opposition Agent out and I'm going to search their deck 3 times and take 3 cards out of their library. So yeah, we do press that these are higher powered cards. These are quote unquote unfun cards for like a battle cruiser format or for a medium power format. So you would want to play these in higher power, but I think they're very important for the format right now. And I think they are seeing at least a lot of discussion.
Yeah, no, I like these a lot. I mean, I certainly will play them. I want to test them out, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But just make sure your play group's cool with that before you just throw these in, because it will lead to a couple of field bans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the next card that I have is Armix Filigree Thrasher. So it is the legendary artifact golem for 2 and a black. It's a 3/2 that says whenever it attacks, you may discard a card. When you do, target creature defending player controls gets -X/-X until end of turn, where X is the number of artifacts you control plus the number of artifact cards in your graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
I only have one artifact like dedicated deck, and it's Rona, Disciple of Gix, that has already got self-mill strategy included. Mm-hmm. And a significant number of artifacts. So attacking with this 3/2 will almost, I mean, I would say I would almost guarantee that I would be taking out a creature with the -X/-X. It may not live. Obviously, it has to swing, so it's not that great, but it seems fun. And I like playing with new cards, and that's as simple as it is for this one.
Right.
It's not going to enable some crazy combo for me, but it is legendary, so if I can swing, I can cast Rona, exile it because it's a historic permanent,
mm-hmm.
and just cast it back down for 3. So Rona, the one thing that Rona does is recurs things pretty consistently,
mm-hmm.
Very consistently.
Right.
So I would put this in there. I probably have a couple of filler cards. I mm-hmm. mean, my Rona deck is not completely tuned. It has some infinite combos in it, but there's cards that I just don't really like when sure. I draw them. So this is going in.
And it itself is an artifact as well.
Yes.
So it counts for itself.
Yeah.
In that minus. So even if someone exiles your graveyard before combat or something.
And it's like, us getting -1/-1.
Still killing that token. Getting it.
Get there. So it's going in. It's going in.
Very cool. I'm still considering this card as one of the partner cards for my mono black.
Yeah.
Deck. I'm considering it.
Okay.
But I would have to throw in a lot of artifact synergy to make it worth it. So we'll see. So the next cards I want to talk about, kind of a catch-all. It seems like most of the cards that I picked are actually just like 12 cards each, it seems. Because the last one was 2, Hull Breacher and Opposition Agent.
The one before that was 3.
It was 3 with green. So this one is 5. So these are all the Battle Bond cycle of lands.
Oh yeah.
That we have. So
they're great.
They're really good for the Commander format specifically. So they come in untapped if you have 2 or more opponents. And we're finally finishing the cycle from Battle Bond. I don't know if that's what, I mean, I think that's generally what the audience is calling them, or Battle Bond lands.
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to finish that cycle. They're not fetchable by means of traditional fetch lands or anything like that. Obviously they're fetchable with cards like Reshape the Earth, if that's what you
want
to do.
If you're in a 5 color deck and they're all in your deck,
yeah.
and you still have more than, just one opponent, you can get all 10.
That's right. And well, I mean,
if you don't have any out,
that's true.
And you have already 9 mana.
Yeah, that's correct. If all of those things are there, which is not likely.
I would like to see it happen.
It would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's going to help you fix, in colors that, you know, you already have a lot of good color fixing for. I know Izzet is one of the color combinations that I'm looking forward to. So if you don't like your Temple of Epiphany, is it one? Yeah. So if you don't like your Temple of Epiphany, if you don't really need that scry trigger, this one will come in untapped. Or maybe you're just going to replace a basic land with some of these Battle Bond lands to help fix your mana.
Yeah.
It's just kind of simple.
Yeah.
It's exciting cards that we're going to add to our 99.
That we'll go in. I use the Battle Bond lands if I have them. I didn't open a ton of Battle Bond, but I picked them up because it's in a lot of cases, it's better than a scry land.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the scry land's relevant. If you have it, it's mm-hmm. not bad. You can play them both.
I like scry land turn 1. I like Battle Bond land turn 10.
In turn 10, you might only have one opponent, and then it comes in and also doesn't scry.
That would be bad. That is true.
You like it solid on like turn 4.
Sure.
4 or 5.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, I don't want a scry land. I might. they both have their importance.
They do.
They really
do. You need to figure out what's better for your deck and then just play both anyways.
Yes. So the next card, I actually feel that one of the decks that got the most love for me is my Taysa Orzhov Scion deck. So this is Thalisse Reverent Medium. So it's a 3-4 for 3, a white and a black, and for a human cleric. At the beginning of each end step, create a 1-1 white spirit creature token of flying, where X is the number of tokens you created this turn. So I do have sac outlets. So if I sacrifice a black creature and I make a 1-1 white spirit, because it says when a black creature you control is put into the graveyard, this will make a spirit at the end of turn for each spirit that I already made. Five mana is a lot, but it just really works with what I'm already doing. So I don't see any reason not to add this. Yeah. I like it a lot. And I think this would be really cool in a cleric deck or just a tokens deck that's playing white and black. I mean, I think this would be good in my Nakara and Yannick. They care about +1/+1 counters, but they have some synergies with tokens in there. So this would be kind of cool because I make tokens with them occasionally.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think this just screams Orzhov, right? It screams Taysa. It's in the absolute.
There's a lot of ghosts just like appearing that are probably screaming.
I know they've been releasing little story tidbits of all of the Commander Legend cards.
I have not gotten to all of them yet.
Yeah, there's two articles.
Yeah.
And I think I'm halfway through the first one. So I'm interested to see if Thalisse?
I pronounced it Thalisse.
Thalisse. I'm interested if Thalisse is actually from Ravnica and is Orzhov related.
It looks very much so.
If you know and you're listening, tell us somehow.
Tell us?
Just
tell question us. Mark? There just, is a question. That was actually a question, not a...
Yeah, add us on Twitter. At me.
Or email us.
At the Guardian Project Pod. Yes.
Guardian Project Pod at gmail.com.
Okay, so the next card we're going to talk about, I think we're both really excited for this one, actually. I know a lot of people are. And this card is War Room. So War Room is a land that enters the battlefield untapped, which is really cool.
That's relevant because we've done two shows where we care about untapped lands.
And it taps for a colorless, or you can pay 3 and tap it. Pay life equal to the number of colors in your commander's color identity to draw a card. So I don't just have one deck that I want to put this in. There's many, 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 many decks. Obviously, decks that lack card draw, like Mono White, like my De Jure deck, or Boros, like my Fire Song and Sunspeaker deck, are going to be loving this card. So there's even some decks that want the life loss that is going to want this deck. So like I know in Vilis, it's going to be pay 3, tap it, draw 2 cards. Which is really cool. In Firesong and Sunspeaker, I have a lot of healing abilities and lifelink abilities where I don't really care about 2 life loss, because it's going to be tap 3, pay 2, draw a card. Not a big deal.
I will be putting this in monocolor decks. I wish it was like pay life equal to the number of colors in your commander's identity and draw that many. Mm. Oh, that would have been really, really nice. I would have done pay 5 to draw 5, but you have to also pay 3, tap it, and 5 life.
Right.
Is that broken? I don't actually know.
To draw 5? Pay 3, draw 5?
Pay 3 and tap it and 5 life to draw 5?
Yes, that's amazing.
Is it broken?
It's probably pretty broken.
Is it broken?
It might be. If you have infinite mana, a Rings of Bright Hearth and a Deserted Temple, you can draw your entire deck as long as you have enough life to make it work. There are ways to make it broken, I think.
Maybe. Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm off base.
You're way off base. No, I don't think you're
right. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's Maybelline. No, I don't know if it's broken, but this is really great for commanders that lack that card draw, and it does come in untapped, so it taps for colorless.
That's right. So and then if you play this in a colorless deck, then you don't have to pay any life because you have no colors in your commander's color identity, and it does tap for a colorless. So this is like just an upgrade from a waste at that point.
So
play it in your Eldrazi deck or your artifacts only deck kind of deal, and go to town.
Yeah. The next card that I have is Belby, Corrupted Observer. So it's a 2/2 zombie elf for a black and a green. At the beginning of each player's post-combat main phase, that player adds 2 colorless or 2 generic mana for each of your opponents who lost life this turn. So I would like to add this to my Jerad Golgari Lichlord deck so I can fling a creature and have each opponent lose life equal to the power of that creature. And then on my second main phase, get 6 generic mana.
Yeah. What are you going to do with your 6 generic mana?
I might play a Phyrexian Obliterator, or I might play... I don't know, I might just play something really big there, or a Triskelion, or play I don't know, there's a couple of nasty things you could do with it.
There's a lot of nasty things you can do with 6 colorless mana.
And I think Belby fits perfectly into it. It's a 2/2, it only costs 2. I mean, it's not like you're putting that much into it. And just for it to sit out there, it could help your opponents too.
It could.
I mean, that's fine, because it could really be like, help. You know what, I Belby's not getting removed because Coil goes, well, I can deal damage to 2 people, and then I get 4 generic mana at, you know, you get 4 generic at your second main. This card, I think, is one of those cards that might be seen as a hey, that's kind of group huggy. Oh, that's really nasty.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
no. I really want to see how this works in game though.
In green black reanimator decks, this is going to be huge. I mean, if you think Ashnod's Altar sacrificing a creature and getting 2 colorless is good, about sacrificing a creature and getting 6 colorless because you have a Zillaport Cutthroat out.
Right.
So.
Or flinging it, dealing 2 damage to each opponent and then getting 6 colorless.
Exactly.
Or flinging a creature that and dealing 20 damage to your opponent, I guess, and then also getting 6 mana at your second main phase.
Right. So if you're playing green black reanimator, this is either going to be A, your commander.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool.
Or B, in the 99. But again, like you said, you do have to be careful about it.
Backfiring.
So maybe I know I can't think of her name right now.
Glissa, the traitor?
No, the green black reanimator deck that I used to play, Marin of Clan Nel'Toth.
Oh yeah.
This might be a really good card to put in Marin, so that you can get the colorless mana, and then at the end of your turn, you just sacrifice Belby so no one else gets the extra mana on their turns. And you're like, oh yeah, it's just going to sit in my graveyard. No big deal.
You just bring it back.
You can bring it back. Well, whenever you want to. Whenever you need that extra colorless mana. So yeah, I actually really like that card, and I thought about brewing around it, and we'll see what happens.
I didn't brew around it only because I knew I was going to put it into a deck, and I try not to have like a commander that I also throw into 6 decks. But then, you know, I play the Locust God in like 3 decks, and it's my commander, so you know.
Yeah.
You win some, you lose some.
See, that would be really difficult for me because I have this Morophon deck that I play just a crap ton of legendary creatures in.
Yep.
Speaking of which... A card that I want to add to my Morophon everything tribal deck is Amarith the Lustrous. So Amarith the Lustrous is a 6/6 dragon for 3 green, white, blue that has flying, and whenever another permanent enters the battlefield under your control, look at the top card of your library. If it shares a card type with that permanent, you may reveal that card and put it into your hand. So this card is particularly good when I am quote unquote storming off with Morophon. So Morophon plays a few enchantments like Conspiracy and Arcane Adaptation that allow me to name only one creature type. And then all of my creatures either gain that creature type or become that creature type, depending on which card it is. Conspiracy makes them become, Arcane Adaptation makes them gain, which is an important differential. But Amarith allows it so that if I do have one of those out and I play a creature, I can top deck a creature and then cast that creature again, and then top deck a creature and cast that creature again. If you do have some top deck manipulation, you can kind of, you know, look at it and see, oh, is this when I play my land? So I get another land in my hand and get that off the top of my deck. But this is just going to help get extra value. And on top of it, I do play a lot of dragon synergy, or a few dragon synergy card, like the Ur-Dragon and Scion of the Ur-Dragon, along with some other 3 mana dragons in my Morophon deck. So it's going to fit really well, just again, for card advantage and an extra dragon.
Yeah, no, that's great. The next card, which is a very important card for a lot of people, I think everyone would like to do it, would like to play with it. It's Jeweled Lotus, and we mentioned it last week. It's not broken. It's going to be played. However many I open, we'll go into decks. the thing to remember is you'll be a big target if you do it on turn one. You get something out on turn one or even on turn two. But this specifically, I would like to add to, and I mentioned it last week, I would like to add this to my Rona deck as well, because I can play Rona and bring it back immediately, and then it feels like I've got this sitting out there as Rona tax.
Yeah.
Because Rona does cost three, then, you know, then five, then seven, and which is fine. But I also play Emry, Lurker of the Lock. I play other cards that can get artifacts back. So Jeweled Lotus, I think, is great. There's not a whole lot more to say. It stirred Twitter up for a bit, yeah. And now it's not. The world did not,
the world didn't end.
It didn't end because of Jeweled Lotus.
That's right. It'll end because of other things, but not Jeweled Lotus.
Yeah, just not for the Jeweled Lotus. I expect to see it a couple of times. Some people might be frustrated early on, but I don't think it's going to be. This is not an every single commander deck staple.
No.
So
I want to see it played in a mono blue Urza deck, but only to tap for one blue.
It'll happen.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be really cool to see too, because they won't need it, because they'll have the Urza out and they'll draw it late game. And for them, it at least still is a rock.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so the next card that I am adding to a deck is actually being added to a deck that I am going to put Jeweled Lotus in as well. And this is Tivash Zazat, Doom of Fools.
Okay.
This is your partner Planeswalker, mono black, which is going to be one of the black partners. All from right, my
so
black
we know card. Half of it.
Yeah, Tivash Zazat will be one of my mono black commanders with partner. So for 5 mana for 4 and a black, you get a legendary planeswalker Zazat with 4 loyalty that you can +2 to create 2/0/1 black thrall creature tokens. +1, you may sacrifice another creature or planeswalker. If you do, draw 2 cards, then draw another card if the sacrifice permanent was a commander. You can -10 to gain control of all commanders. Put all commanders from the command zone onto the battlefield under your control. So I know a lot of people are a little bit scared of that -10. I am going to perpetuate that fear, and I'm going to try to hit that -10 as soon as possible. So this is going in my Nicol Bolas, the Ravager, Super Fiends deck is what I call it. So Nicol Bolas, the Ravager is the flip bolus from M19. When it enters the battlefield, each opponent discards a card. It's a flying 4/4/4. That's kind of irrelevant. I mean, doing 4 damage is nice, but
right.
Important part is you can pay 4 and Grixis, so 4 blue, black, red, to exile Nicol Bolas the Ravager, then return him to the battlefield transformed under his owner's control. Activate this ability only anytime you could cast a sorcery. And then the flip side is actually a planeswalker, and I'm gonna need to pull this up on Scryfall because I didn't do it already and I'm a bad host. But what this deck likes to do is reanimate planeswalkers from the graveyard. So actually the ability of Tezzat to sacrifice planeswalkers to draw cards is just an added benefit, so that I can use a planeswalker's ability, kill it, reanimate it, and use the planeswalker's ability again. So it's kind of like a pseudo chain veil, but at the same time I'm going to be playing cards like Deep Glowskate and stuff to double the amount of loyalty counters on my commanders to try to get to that -10 as soon as possible. You know, this deck is built with a CEDH mana base, so I consider it about a level 8 on the power scale, just because planeswalker synergy itself is not super strong in a free-for-all format. Everyone can just kind of swing at your planeswalkers and kill them. In a one-on-one format, this deck would definitely be a 9 or a 10. Nicol Bolas, the Arisen, is the flip side of the other Nicol Bolas, and the most important activation is the -4 to put target creature or planeswalker card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. So that's really why I want Tivash in there. It's already got a lot of synergy for planeswalkers. It's another control aspect. It's card draw, it's blockers, and then it's -10 is just a house. So that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of fun. You know, the next card that I'm going for, the last card that I have on my list is not going in a specific deck. I think this is the main one that I have that's not going in a deck. It's a mono blue card here. It's an instant and it's wrong turn. So target opponent gains control of target creature. So if you're playing a Zedru deck, solid. Mm-hmm. You can give away one of your creatures. That's great. A creature that might have a negative effect. However, a lot of people, at least in our meta, play Sack Outlet, so it never worked out when I gave away a creature, because Coil always had either Phyrexian Altar or Ashnod's Altar or a the Visera Seer or something. Mm-hmm. But that was when you were playing Mono Black a lot. So, that's, I mean, true, to be fair. But Wrong Turn's really great because if the creature is attacking or blocking, it's removed from combat. So, mm-hmm, if there's something super nasty coming at me, like a big old commander that has a lot of swords or something on it, maybe, and doesn't have Pro Blue,
right,
I can give it to one of my opponents and just say, are you going to swing this at me? And if they say no, I'll go, okay, cool, you take this creature. Because, mm-hmm, it, mm-hmm, doesn't have to be yours going, it can be between people.
That's right.
So this is a pretty political card. I think this is a really cool card. It's one that will probably not be played very often and is one of those gacha cards.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of some of the like sudden substitution and stuff from the commander precons.
You never see them.
Right.
But when they happen, you go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
It always feels bad. I play Mass Diminish in one of my decks until, mm-hmm, in a turn, they all become, are they base power 1/1s?
Yeah.
Yeah. That you swing at me with a bunch of big creatures, if they don't have counters on them, I just get a bunch of 1/1s coming at, mm-hmm, me. That's, mm-hmm, just good.
Yeah.
It's just fine.
Yeah, let me just give you my Brash Taunter so you can block with it real quick, and then activate my Homeward Path and get it back on the same turn.
Yeah,
it was sweet.
I think it's a really cool card. I guarantee this is going to be underplayed. I will constantly say you should play Wrong Turn.
Yeah,
just because there's that big old thing that you can just take away that's coming at you and give it to someone else and just say, even just for one turn, can, mm-hmm, you swing it back at its owner and not at me? I'll, mm-hmm, try and deal with it later.
Absolutely. All right, so the last card on our list that I have, and I still think this is a mythic artifact, and people talked about it when it came out and they're like, eh, too much mana, not worth it. Disagree. Hard disagree. And I'll tell you why. And this is
Fire. No, I hope you don't, and you just say,
I'm just gonna say,
I disagree. All right, do you want to go on to the next?
All right, yeah, next subject. No. So this is Phyrexian Triniform. Or Phyrexian Triniform.
Trinio form. We're just adding letters now.
Just, you know, throw an O in there. Phyrexian Triniform is a 9 CMC 9/9 golem that says when Phyrexian Triniform dies, create 3/3/3 colorless golem artifact creature tokens, and that it has Encore, a mechanic we talked about last week, for 12 mana, which is a hefty price for that 12 mana. So the deck that I am going to be playing this in is my Illuminati Mason of the Free deck. So my Aluna Apex of Wishes deck. And Aluna Apex of Wishes is basically a polymorph deck. So it's all about either mutating onto creatures in order to exile cards from the top of my library until I exile a non-land permanent, put it on the battlefield, or into my hand, but it never goes into my hand, or sacrificing creatures with polymorph-like effects to dig through my library to get the next creature, and it's always going to be a bomb, and Phyrexian Triniform is going to be another bomb. So the deck does revolve a lot around token strategy and token synergies as well. So it's going to help to get one, a free 9/9. And then, you know, when it dies, I get 3/3/3 tokens, which, you know, if I have a doubling season out, it becomes 6/3/3 tokens. Or if I have Brutaclad out, then it's just going to be extra tokens for things to get turned into. And on top of that, you know, if push comes to shove and it's late game and I don't have anything left to do, I can Encore it for 12, bring it back as tokens, as 3/9/9 tokens. If I have a Brutaclad, turn all my stuff into the 9/9 tokens and swing with them. And then when each one of those tokens dies after the Encore, each one of them is going to make a 3/3 colorless golem. So it's just going to work really well with your token strategies. I also would recommend putting this into a Wreath the Redeemed deck so that you can, you know, like Encore it, then activate Wreath the Redeemed and get three more even on top of that. So you have 6 Phyrexian Triniforms that are all going to die at end step. So super good synergies there. And that is where I'm going to play that card.
Nice. Nice. So those are the cards that we're putting into the 99. So our last topic here really is looking at these cards now that we've had a chance to read off like through all of them. What deck would we like to build? Is it tuned? Is it not? You know what? And I think honestly, for me, I really enjoy the idea of having a Sundial of the Infinite on a commander. So Sundial of the Infinite's an artifact that's existed for a long time now. You pay one, tap it, end the turn, activate this ability only during your turn. So the card that came out that has a similar ability is Obeka Brute Chronologist. She is a 3/4 for one, a blue, black, and a red, and it just says tap, the player whose turn it is may end the turn, and you exile all spells and abilities from the stack. and you discard down to max hand size, damage wears off this turn until end of turn effects end. So really cool flavor text I'm bored with now. So I think I would like to build this deck. It is likely going to be a more competitive deck. It seems like if you were to build it and you wanted to do infinite turns with like an Isochron Scepter exiling a Final Fortune, which has taken extra turn after this one, at the end of that turn, you lose the game. You just end that turn, but then you just keep casting Final Fortune. So really you never would lose, assuming you can get it to stay around. Super fragile, but you're in Grixis colors. You have lots of options. Seems like a solid deck. If I were to build it, it would probably be a very tuned or a more competitive deck. Mm-hmm. At least just to proxy it up and try it once or twice. That this one is definitely probably. This is definitely the top commander for me that I'd like to build just for the ability itself. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wanna play the Buddy Cop deck, which is just Malcolm and Breaches. Mm-hmm. Seems really fun to play some pirates. I like partners. I've got a couple of partner decks that I already play. I've got Zindersplit and Oaken. I have Nakara and Yannick. I like playing with partners. Mm-hmm. But adding Vile Smasher to Malcolm seems really fun. Adding Vile Smasher to anything seems really fun, yeah, in all honesty. Yeah, so really, and I'm sad now that I don't own any more copies of the original partners. I just don't have copies of them.
Well,
I wasn't using them. But
they're all getting reprinted.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see what the prices of all these decks look like. I mean, in all honesty, although these are my top decks, I mean I could build 15.
I could do way more than that.
Okay, I could too, but I don't want everyone to think that I'm insane. I'm gonna build
They
all
already
of them.
Think that you play blue white.
Okay, fair. So if you had to pick one or two, what are you building?
So I've already built Around Me of the Dead Tide.
Yes.
I need to get three or four cards actually from Commander Legends in order to finish it.
Okay.
And I was actually kind of back and forth if I wanted to build Around Me or Nimrus, Una's Trickster. So I wanted to build Dimir Control as my new CEDH deck or near CEDH deck.
So you're gonna poop all over Zorias and build Dimir Control.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So I already have those deck lists. If you want to take a look at those deck lists, you can DM me. I won't go too much into detail on them. But the two decks that I'm actually really excited to build, that I haven't already built, is Jessica and Dargo companion. So this would be mono red partners. And it's mostly around the fact that Dargo is an uncommon red partner.
Companion are we adding?
Nope, not a companion. So the big thing about Dargo is that he has 7 power and he has trample. So you can, as an additional cost to cast this spell, you may sacrifice any number of artifacts and or creatures. The spell costs 2 less to cast for each permanent sacrifice this way and 2 less to cast for each other artifact or creature you've sacrificed this turn. And it's a 7/5 with trample, and the fact that Jessica can have target creature next time it deals combat damage, it deals 3 times that amount of damage, makes it so that one unblocked swing with Dargo is 21 commander damage on someone's face. And so I want to build around that and try to just do a one swing kill on somebody. Think that would be fun. And really you only need 4 mana to do it, because you can potentially cast Dargo for 1 red.
Yeah.
But the fun one that I want to build is actually Rogue Rock and Silas Wren. So Rogue Rock is our new 0 CMC legendary creature kobold warrior. So it's a 0/1/0. It has first strike, menace, and trample, and has partner. And I want to partner it with Silas Wren, who is Dimir. And Silas Wren is going to allow you to have some extra artifact synergy. So Silas Wren, whenever it deals combat damage to an opponent, you target an artifact card in your graveyard, and then you can cast that card for the rest of the turn. So this is going to be a combo deck using the artifact Cloudstone Curio. So Cloudstone Curio is a 3 CMC artifact. This is whenever a non-artifact permanent comes into play under your control, you may return another permanent you control that shares a permanent type with it to its owner's hand. So there are 3 other kobolds that you can play in the 99. There is Crimson Kobold, there is Crookshank Kobold, and there is Kobolds of Kirkkeep that are all 0 CMC kobolds that share a type with your commander that are going to allow you to infinitely bounce your commander to your hand, and then you can finish people off either with an Altar of the Brood, which will mill out your opponents, Or you can put Jessica in here because you'll be casting your commander an infinite number of times, and Jessica deals damage to players equal to the number of times, or it gets loyalty counters equal to the number of times you've cast your commander this turn. So it'll come onto the battlefield with just a million counters on it, and then you minus a million, and each of up to three targets takes a million damage.
Stifle.
You can go ahead and do that if you've got it. And that's why we're playing.
I gotta have it.
And that's why we're playing Grixis, and we're gonna have some control pieces.
No, that does seem like a ton of fun. So I'm excited. We'll see what happens. Obviously, we're gonna proxy some of these up. We're gonna build a couple. We'll probably build way more than we just said we were gonna build.
For sure.
So looking forward to it. So the other thing is we're going to start scheduling out guests for our streams on Thursdays. Again, we always stream at twitch.tv/ATFlory. So if you want to join us on stream, we just need you to have really spell table set up and access to Discord. Mm-hmm. So reach out and let us know. We'd love to get you on the calendar. And thank you all again for listening this week. If you would like to contact us, you can find us online at theguardianprojectpodcast.com. You can find our social media on Twitter at theguardianpod and our gameplay videos at youtube.com/theguardianproject, and you can email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at @ATFlory.
You can find me on Twitter at @WormCoilEngine.
And we will talk to you all next week.
That's
when Commander Legends comes out next week, Friday, if you pre-ordered.
That's right.
And then otherwise, if you didn't pre-order, you can pick it up a week after that. I can't believe that we're already a week away from picking up pre-orders.
I know. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but you'll have to wait an extra week for Collector's Edition in most cases.
I didn't get those, so I'm just getting regular draft boosters. Okay. But I would love to draft the Collector's
boosters. You were not drafting that. No.
No.
No, yeah. No. No drafting Collector's Edition.
Okay, fine.
Oh, no.